Sailors, I'm Justin.
And I'm Marcella.
And this is Sailor Manga, the podcast where we become the true Sailor Guardians of manga by reading some of our favorites and reviewing them to our heart's content. Happy manga, Marcella. How the hell are you?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
Doing pretty good. We're here with another Rosenblood. Chapter 13, which I was hoping that we would have some sort of great Taylor announcement for this episode because it's chapter 13, but you know what? It's fine.
But we've still got stuff to discuss.
Oh, we do, of course. We'll have things to discuss in our Taylor talk. But before we get to that, y'all know we got to do moon news. So Marcella, what you got?
I can't remember if we talked about it on pod or off pod, but you know, I've got a bit of a mouse situation in the house. Yeah, it turns out there's more than one because I'd seen one in my office and it was relatively large and brown. But then Judith caught one. She stepped up and I was popping the kettle on and she came trotting in and like just dropped it at my feet.
Yeah.
It was very sad because it was so tiny and she was looking at me so proud and I was picked. So I picked it up. I got a bag and I picked it up and I was like, good girl, Judith. Trying to hold my tears back for the little dead mouse. You fucking monster. So we're one mouse down, but the office mouse is still kicking around, I think. I haven't seen or heard it, but I'm pretty sure it's probably still there. But I've ordered one of those humane mouse traps as opposed to the inhumane mouse trap that is Judith. So that's that. Had a really busy week at work because it's been year-end billing. Yeah. But it was also fun because we went out and did like a social activity using the last of our social budget up. And we went and had Korean comfort food.
Oh, yum.
Which was at this place called Zipbap. And it was gorgeous. It was so nice. I had like the hot stone bowl where it comes with the meat and all the veggies and the rice and the egg on top. And then you have to stir it to cook it properly.
Oh, yum.
And it was so tasty. And then just add like plenty of hot sauce. It was gorgeous. And then some plum wine and a couple of beers. And then we went off to do a painting activity, which I invited my little Ed to join us at. So him and I were just sat together doing our little painting. And it was really good fun. We were drinking Prosecco. The guy on stage was like this handsome French man. So we were in our element. We were just like, what an amazing night. And I posted our pictures that we did on Instagram. But it was like, so the guy on stage, he kind of like, he paints, but he talks through what he's doing. And then everybody in the class just follows along. It was a really good idea. It was really good. I'd definitely do it again. And then Friday was just super busy. I didn't get home until late because billing. And I felt like I was having a bit of a breakdown halfway during the day. So I spent some money online shopping and bought something that I didn't need in the slightest. But wanted. So do you remember the whole flower nose mermaid collection fiasco?
Yes.
Which it took me how long to get, but I ended up getting my Celestial Castle palette, if you remember.
Right.
And I use that a lot actually. So they've got a new collection out called Little Angel Collection. I'm gonna let me post one of the components because it's stunning. It gives me kind of lover, but you'll see. It gives me kind of lover vibes because I don't know why actually it just does, but not sort of so pink and pastely. Right, let me post it. So this is the blush, the sort of the component that the blush comes in. Very like stained glass, very Halsey.
Ooh, I love it.
Isn't it gorgeous? And they did like a collection, a customizable bundle where you got £40 off if you bought the bundle.
Okay.
Off the collection. So I got a lipstick and I chose the shade Lyric Poetry.
Very poets, love it.
And it's like a rose a sort of deep rose colored lipstick, which I'm all about. Nice. And then I got the blush, which is the component that you see. And I got the one called Flaming Heart, which I just loved the name of it. Mm-hmm. Then the eyeshadow palette, I chose the more neutral one. They did have one, which I kind of really wanted. That was called Weeping Angel. Ugh. And it was in this kind of like very sort of black, very dark gothic component, but the colors, I just wouldn't wear them.
Oh, I see.
So I played it safe and I went with the safe choice, but the one that I know I'm going to get use out of. And it's called Eden's Angel.
Very Helios. Love that. Mm.
Then I chose the little angel hand mirror, and I chose the color that was called Afterglow because.
Yeah.
Obviously. The blush brush I picked up was the black one called Obsidian.
Oh, I love the word obsidian so much.
And then you just get a little hair clip. So I chose the baby blue one. And then you get a free gift box as well to put it all in. So I'm very excited about that coming.
That sounds so much fun. Okay.
I just love the way that they name their stuff. Flower Nose. It's just, honestly, they're just top tier. Top tier when it comes to naming and packaging. And it's always really good quality stuff as well. So... Mm-hmm. And then that's kind of it, really. I'm still desperately trying to get someone to come see fucking Shania Twain with me in July. I think I was close to having Darren convinced but then that would mean he'd have to come down to London twice in the space of 2 months. And it's just a lot. I've been trying to like convince Olivia's not going to be here. She'll be in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. Ruth is already going, but she's going to see Kylie. So she's like, oh, I don't want to go twice. I've messaged Rachel. She hasn't responded. I think that tells me all I need to know. She's not a huge Shania fan.
I feel like the music people from the really music people, because not going twice, I'd be like, okay, I get to see two different shows.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I'd be there in a heartbeat.
And then I've just said to Paul, look, it may happen. I know you would. I like that. I need you to live in the UK because we would go to so many shows. It would be ridiculous.
Well, I don't want to move to the UK anyways. So.
Well, there you go. Perfect. And I'm like, I can't go by myself, can I? Because it's an all-day festival. So I've said to Paul, look, you might have to come. And I'll just get him good and drunk so that he enjoys Shania. So yeah, we'll see. Just watch this space. And then the other person that I quite fancy seeing is actually playing on my birthday. And it's Ali X.
Really?
She's playing on my actual birthday. And I was like, wait a minute.
How serendipitous.
So I thought, well, I haven't really listened to her new album, but I could listen to it in the run-up.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Obviously. And I thought that would be quite nice because I'm sure she'd do some of her other stuff too, which I love. So I did a quick Google for ticket prices. £27.
That's it?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And now I'm thinking I just kind of have to go, even if I go by myself. I asked Rachel, but she says, she's on holiday that day. She actually is as well. She's going abroad, so that's fair. I don't think Paul would be into it. Nobody else I know at work is an Ali X fan, except this one girl, but I don't really know her well enough to spend my birthday with her.
That's fair.
And I'm just like, and Olivia again will be in Bucking Hong Kong. Not that she's an Ali X fan anyway, but I think she'd come with me if I was like, oh, look, it's my birthday.
Right.
So I'm like, I need friends.
live
in the UK. And into the kind of music that I'm into.
Because
all my music friends that are into the stuff that I'm into don't live in England.
Right.
And it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, but anyway, that's my moon news.
Love it.
What about you?
Okay, let's see. Been a rough work week for me. It's been a trying time. I think I mentioned last week that I was going on interviews. I went on another one.
Yeah. Oh.
It went well. I got off of the job. But they were offering me $4 less an hour than I currently make. And I was like, I can't afford that much of a pay cut.
No. Yeah.
So I was like, is there anything we can do? Like, I was trying to negotiate with prices, and they were like, yeah, Yeah, unfortunately we can't. And I'm like, well, then I can't accept this offer. Sorry. So that sucked because I got the job.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm still at my same old place.
Well, congratulations on getting the job and commiserations on it not being...
Yeah,
what we needed.
Whatever, we'll see what happens. I've already messaged Taylor on Tumblr and been like, hey, are you ready for a new bodyguard? I'm tired of working a regular job. Like, do you need someone to like hold your spit out gum when you're walking in town? Because I'll do that. Like, yeah, exactly. I'll do anything. But anyway, actual moon news. So, this week, not this week, but this weekend, Alan went to Richmond because he's on spring break. So he went to see his mom. So I've got free reign of the house, which doesn't mean much because literally all I've done so far is edit and suffer my forthcoming book.
Oh, yeah,
that's
yeah.
Literally all I've done or all I did yesterday. But today I actually got to do some fun things. The first of which being playing the new Princess Peach game that just came out.
Yes, how is it?
It is so fucking fun. It is so cute. I've only played 2 levels. I don't know how many levels there are. I think 10.
Yeah.
Maybe like 12 with boss levels or something. I don't know. It's a relatively short game from what I gather, but I had already pre-ordered it and I got like $10 off, so I wasn't really that worried about how long the game was and spending the money on it because I'd already had it pre-ordered. And it's just really fun. It's really cute. It's an easy game, but I could see like replaying it again just because it's really fun. Yeah. It's just a lot of fun. And, you know, I love me some Princess Peach, and you can customize her dress, which, you know, I'm a customized queen.
Yeah.
So I love that I can change her dress, and you can change her like little partner's outfit.
Cute.
It's just so much fun. And I love the transformations because the first level that you play, you transform into Sword Fighter Peach, and she looks like Revolutionary Girl Utena.
Yeah, I love that.
So it's just a lot of fun. I love playing Sword Fighter Peach. There's also one called, I haven't played this one yet, but she has a transformation called Dashing Thief Peach, and she looks like Tuxedo Mask.
Oh.
And I'm like, bitch.
They knew.
I was like, you're combining Princess Peach and Sailor Moon? I'm in. And Utena? Mm-hmm. I'm in.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just really fun so far. Like I said, I've only played like 2 levels, but it's super cute, super fun, super easy, and like cozy. It's not very difficult, which I appreciate. Sometimes you just want to play a fun game, and it fits the bill. It's really great.
Sounds fun. I have to watch some gameplay.
Yeah, it is really fun. Speaking of gameplay, I did a DBD stream yesterday.
Yes, I saw this morning after the event.
Which was really fun. I miss gaming streams. I really need to like really like dig my feet in the ground and be like, I'm streaming once a week because it is so much fun. I love interacting with people, even if it's the same 3 people that are normally there. But it's just so much fun to play. Not just DBD, but like other games in general. Like
I haven't played DBD in so long. I assume Chuck is out now.
Yes, and in the stream I went against him for the first time.
Oh god.
So that was fun.
Is he scary?
You know what? I think the most disheartening thing is he has this like not ability. Actually, it might be an ability where you just hear like little footsteps.
Oh even god, if you're not around.
And I'm like, oh shit, is that him? And it's not him. So it like it fakes you out even when you're being sneaky, you hear the footsteps. So it does not help my sneak strategy at all.
That sounds creepy but amazing. I think I'm gonna have to have a game.
Yeah, I really, really enjoy it. But I haven't gone up against the new killer, the unknown. Have you seen?
Oh, I didn't know there was a new one.
Yeah, and there's a new survivor who's like the best friend of Michaela, and she's also a witch.
Really?
Yeah, so they're like, if you played Michaela, I could play Sable and we could be the witch.
Yes.
The witch girl.
Oh yes, we have to. Sable. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I love her name. So cute. But yeah, the new killer is called the Unknown, and they're basically some type of like parasitic alien inside like a stretched out human body. It's kind of creepy.
Oh, God, sounds cool.
Yeah, it's really cool looking, but it's creepy as fuck. I've seen the gameplay. I haven't gone up against that killer yet. And there's a new map with like a movie theater.
Oh, I love the sound of that.
Yeah, it looks really amazing. Fucking cool. Yeah.
Okay, I need to get the updates going because it needs to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. Like every time I play DVD, I'm like, I should play this regularly again. Like I really do like enjoy playing this regularly.
I know, we used to play it all the time. Do you remember? All the time. Before we pre-recorded, we'd always have some DVD games.
So much fun.
As our little warm-up.
Yeah. Oh god, so much fun. But yeah, I really want to get back into gaming streams. So much fun. What else do we got here? I actually have a lot. I'm so sorry. So let's see. Let's talk about this Sailor Moon news. So it was just announced this past week that we are getting an official Sailor Moon art book. Ooh. That's called the Sailor Moon Raison art book. It's French. I'm trying to pronounce it French. I'm probably butchering it.
No, that sounds fine to me.
It's going to be around 40 pounds, I think, or 40 yen. So it'll be around, you know, 45-ish dollars from me. Probably like, I think the pound's more expensive than the dollar. So like what, 50 pounds?
Maybe? Yeah, probably.
It's already said that it's coming out in Japan, but it's supposed to be available internationally through a couple retailers. So us international fans should be able to purchase it. It's not available for pre-order yet, but it's supposed to be coming out for pre-order very, very soon.
Okay, keep me posted. So,
be on the lookout. It's it says that it's going to be 745 illustrations, but it's only 200 pages. So I'm like, how are y'all going to fit that much in a 200-page book? But we'll see. I probably will get it, just because it's brand new illustrations from Naoko. Like, I mean, that's incentive enough right there. But it's also going to have classic designs in it as well. So it's going to have updated new artwork from Naoko, but also classic ones too. So that'll be really, really fun and interesting. And then watching wise, before I get into some music stuff, I've been watching the new sequel series to the original 90s show X-Men, called X-Men 97 on Disney Plus. And it is so fucking good. Like, they really, really did a good job of making it like fun and playful like the original 90s was, but then they gave it like this serious like narrative tone, and it's really fucking done well.
Right.
Especially for like a 22-minute episode show. It's great. Hope that it's going to get renewed for more seasons, because I fucking absolutely love it. And, you know, I got into X-Men very young because of the original animated show. So much so that like my first movie that I ever saw in theaters was X-Men starring Hugh Jackman in 2000. Yeah, like that was one of my gay awakenings. The X-Men movie.
One was so good.
X2 is so good.
I had such a crush on Pyro. Do you remember him?
You fucking would. Mine was Bobby.
I knew that you'd be a Bobby. We're so predictable with our taste. But Pyro had that kind of like bad boy dark hair. Frederick/Sawyer vibe.
Yeah. And Bobby's like blue light and blonde hair.
Blonde hair. Yeah. The sort of like stable, sensible one.
Yeah. So I can be the crazy one. I have a huge like place in my heart for X-Men, especially like I love that X-Men is such an allegory for the queer experience. I think that's why I always really connected with X-Men. I still to this day have two Storm dolls that came out for the 2000 movie. They had the Halle Berry Storm, and then they had classic 90s Storm, and I still have them.
Oh, nice.
They have dyed hair, and they have, you know, different hairstyles, because, you know, I was that girl as a kid. They have custom outfits now, but, you know, they're still Storm at heart.
Well, of course.
So yeah, X-Men 97, really fucking good. Hope it means that like more X-Men content is on the horizon, because X-Men is my favorite Marvel property. I don't really tend to care a whole lot about the Marvel universe, but X-Men, I will always like be a diehard. Yeah. So yeah, that was really good. What else do I have? Let's see. Do we want to talk about Guts Deluxe? Because it was kind of weren't.
Nah, I'm good.
Obsessed is a really good song. There's your wrap up. Okay, so before we talk about Taylor, I want to talk about this album that I was spinning Friday on a loop. I 100% thought that I was going to be spinning Guts Deluxe and just listening to Guts in full.
Yeah, I did. Friday. I thought I was going to have like a Guts revival, and then it just didn't happen.
And then I didn't even know this album was coming out. I have not followed their stuff since early 2000s, but I'm obsessed with their new album. So you remember a girl group by the name of The Veronicas.
It rings a bell.
They had that really popular song called Untouched.
I feel so untouched and I want you so much. And
No bells rung? Okay. No. Well, they had a really big hit over here, at least, called Untouched. And their music was kind of like described as like lesbian anthems, even though I don't know if they're lesbians. But it's two sisters, neither of which are named Veronica. And their last name, I don't think their last name's Veronica either. Don't know where the band name comes from.
Is it something to do with Betty and Veronica? Because they're both dark-haired.
Well, they have collabed with Archie Comics. Yeah. Because I think Archie tried to sue them for it.
Oh, what? For just having the same name?
Yep. And I think they settled with like a collab, which is kind of iconic, honestly. So like the Veronicas, the band, were in the Archie Comics, and they were Archie's like favorite band for like a couple issues or something. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
And I only know that because I dived into them this weekend because of this album. So their brand new album, which you're going to be like, roll your eyes, because the name of the album was what drew me in. The name of the album is Gothic Summer. Shocker, I'm typecast again. But it's really fucking good. So it's seven songs, and then the eighth song is one of the songs, but acoustic. I would consider that an EP, but you know
what?
But it's so, I'm obsessed with it. I think I listened to it at least 10 times Friday. But it's, when I describe some of these songs, it's going to sound eclectic as hell, but it works. Right. So they have my favorite three songs. Let me pull it up. My favorite three songs.
Yeah, I've got it up now.
Are, my number one's probably... It's hard because one of them is a feature and I wish the feature wasn't there, but probably Invisible is my number one.
Okay.
It's more anthemic, more ballady, but it's like fast paced. It's hard to describe. Then probably Savage, and that's like the trap dark pop song.
Okay.
And then my third is probably Jungle, which Jungle, if I closed my eyes and it had a male voice on the track, I would be convinced that it was a B-52 song.
Oh, really?
It sounds like classic B-52s, like Rock Lobster, Love Shaggy era B-52s. And that's why I'm obsessed with it, because it just sounds like a B-52s banger. But there's also a song on the album called Here to Dance, and it belongs in the Barbie movie. It's another roller rink song, disco-y, full Barbie vibes.
Well, I've added it to my library, so I'll report back.
And then
listen.
It's also got a song called Detox, which is more of their like classic Veronica's sound. And then you've got Ribcage as the ballad and Perfect as like this little rocky opener. It's just a great album. I really love it. I haven't listened to the Veronicas since 2002 or whenever the fuck Untouched came out, but I fucking love this album. And I love the cover, because it's like them underneath this blue car.
Yeah, I can see it. It's cool.
But yeah, it's really fucking good. Highly recommend if you need a quick little spin. I don't think it's very long. Like, how long is it? 19 minutes.
Right.
Without the acoustic song.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just really love it. It's a really good time.
Okay. I will listen.
Yeah. Speaking of this, before we get to Taylor, I have a little surprise for you.
Yes, you said. I'm really curious.
So, my little surprise, I'm not going to link the announcement trailer, but do you remember an artist by the little old name of Mothica?
Yes.
Mothica on Friday announced her third album.
Oh my God.
Called Kissing Death.
Oh.
Which I have to like tease this part of the video. There's a clip in the announcement trailer of her marrying Death, which iconic. It's going to be a 12-track, 12-music video visual album.
Oh my goodness.
And I think the first song comes out on the 27th, I think she said. So like, we're about to get a new Mothica album this year, which I did not see coming. And I am so excited.
Oh, Nocturnal was, I mean.
Nocturnal was it.
Played that to death.
And this one's called Kissing Death.
Yeah.
And it's, you can hear like what it's kind of going to sound like in the announcement trailer.
I want to see the announcement trailer. I'm going to have to watch it.
Yeah. Maybe we'll watch it after we record.
Unless it's quite long.
It's like a minute and a half, maybe.
I'm going to watch it now.
Okay, let's watch it
now. Mothica, Kissing Death.
I know it's for sure on her YouTube.
Okay, official visual album trailer. Right, I'm going in. Oh, fuck.
Right. The dark pop popped off. And the visuals of this, I got chills.
I'm not saying anything because I am sat here with my mouth open. Gagged.
Gagged, right?
Oh, God.
Doesn't it look fucking insane?
It looks incredible.
Yeah. So we've got a new Mothica album coming this year.
Okay. Oh, wow. What a year.
What a year
we
for
music. We say
this
every year, but really, and at the start of every year, I'm like, this year isn't going to top it. And then somehow it tops it.
Well, we're just such music people.
And I'm the bottom of 2024 music.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm super excited. Kissing Death. That image of her in the red wedding dress, marrying Death, is already iconic to me.
Yes. The music sounds amazing.
Yeah, it honestly sounds almost like a continuation of Nocturnal.
Yeah, it does.
Which I'm totally here for because I loved Nocturnal.
Okay.
Whew. But she hasn't given it a release date, which is why I'm like, sister, hook me up. Let me know when I've got to go. But yeah, I'm super excited for that.
Wow.
And the fact that it's going to be a completely visual album, I love a good visual album.
Yeah, same.
So, I'm so excited.
Wow, okay.
All right. And like, there's already rumors that Billie's going to release this year and Halsey's going to release this year.
If I need Billie, Halsey,
and Mothica, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. Anyway, that was my little surprise. There you go. I told you you'd like it.
Yes.
And then lastly, just some Taylor stuff. It's actually only really one thing. But I figured we'd talk about how the Tortured Poets Department is available for pre-order on iTunes now. And because of that, we got some insight on the album, mainly being we know what tracks are explicit on the album.
Yes.
And we need to talk about some of these because holy fucking shit. There's 7 explicit tracks, which I did a live stream about this and someone was like, oh, it's the most explicit track she's ever had. And I was like, well, no, Midnight's had 9.
Yeah.
But Midnight's had 9 if you include the Ice Spice remix and the Snow on the Beach with more Lana Del Rey. So technically, it only has 7. So it's tied with Midnight's for her most explicit album ever.
Yeah.
Which scares me in the best way possible. All right. So the 7 explicit tracks, the title track.
Yeah. Interesting.
I did not expect for that one to be explicit. If anything, I expected the Post Malone one to be explicit.
Yeah. True.
So that's interesting. Then the next explicit track is Down Bad, which I just need her to be like, I love getting dick down bad. I know it's not gonna be that. It's probably gonna be like, I'm down bad for him. But I want her to talk about getting just plowed. That's my dream for her. But anyway.
Oh, track six, our potential favorite. Our favorite in title, at least.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I cannot believe But Daddy, I Love Him is explicit. I'm so scared to listen to her.
I can't wait.
It's going to be so good. Again, I did not expect that one to be explicit. I expected Fresh Out the Slammer to be explicit.
True.
So
I'm kind of glad that So Long London isn't explicit, because that one already hurts.
Yeah,
and that would just be rubbing salt in the wound.
If So Long London was explicit, like, we would be hearing the screams around the world, honestly.
Oh, yeah. If she was just like, fuck London, I'd be like, no, do not.
The next explicit track is the feature with Florence, Florida.
Mm. Oh, yeah, Scott's favorite track.
And see, that's what's interesting to me. Scott said his favorites are title track and Florida, which are both explicit.
Yeah, I don't believe that story in the slightest, by the way.
I don't either.
It sounds like a bunch of fucking fanfic bullshit.
And you know why? Because out of all the tracks he could have said, he picked 2 and 8.
Yeah.
2 and 8 again?
I know. It's just no. It didn't happen. Unless you've got a video of it happening, it didn't happen. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was like,
I'm just
Scott,
so no. done with Swifties making shit up, which is a point I have to bring up shortly. But I'm just over it.
Yeah. The next explicit track is LOML. Which also scares me, because that makes me think that it's going to be, of course, the fandom doesn't know if it stands for love of my life, loss of my life, or both, or if it's going to shift. Between. I feel the shift thing. I think it's going to be, that's why it's LOML.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's explicit, oh no.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not vibing with that title at all, but I've got a funny feeling it might be like a Bejeweled, where I end up being obsessed with it.
I just want to know what it stands for, but I do have a feeling that we're just going to call it LOML, because it's kind of growing on me the more I say it.
I don't feel like I don't think it's going to sound like Bejeweled, but I just mean, do you remember Bejeweled was the one that I really wasn't interested in title wise?
Right.
And then obviously I ended up being obsessed with it. So yeah,
I could see that. All right. The next explicit is I Can Do It With a Broken Heart.
Mm.
And then the last one. Oh no. Oh, Joe. Yeah. the last explicit track is The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived, and R.I.P.
Look, we don't know if she's referring to Joe.
This is true. We don't know if it's Joe Slammer.
It could be, exactly, it could be Scott, or it could be Scooter.
I just know whoever is the smallest man is fucked.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting. But yeah, 7 explicits.
Speaking of Josephine, there was an article that a lot of people are talking about, because it was saying Taylor Swift is furious that Joe continues to claim, you know, to reap the benefits of being, you know, one of her collaborators.
What?
On Midnights and Folklore and Evermore. So the guy is allegedly raking in about $2 million a year.
Oh, shit.
Just from being credited.
Yeah.
And it's like, Taylor Swift is furious. And I'm like, is she though? Because she fucking... No, I don't. She put him on those songs.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, why would you then be mad about it? Like, you did this to yourself if you're going to be mad about it.
Yeah, for real.
So, and it's not like he's... Yeah, like, she's got enough money, but we just need to calm down on that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't believe that for a second. I mean, she might be a bit like, well, fuck, it annoys her because they're no longer together.
Yeah,
but even when she was writing Midnights, and obviously he was credited for Sweet Nothing, which I fully believe is about her mum, at that stage, their relationship was, you know, already really rocky. So she didn't have to use it.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's even if he is William Bowery, because people are actually even, you know, assuming that could potentially be Paul McCartney as well, because of what he wrote on Twitter and X.
Interesting.
Mm. So there's that. But this just like leads into this whole gripe that I have at the moment of just misinformation about Taylor, because I got super excited because I saw a TikTok and somebody had posted some screenshots from Instagram. and they were saying she's a mastermind. And it was basically a screenshot of Joe on his little scooter bike thing, his little lime bike in London. And it was the one that had been posted by that girl who was his co-star.
Uh-huh.
And then the date under it was the 19th of April, which of course is the release date for Poets.
Oh.
And people were like, holy fucking shit. She's nothing if not salty. This is going to be amazing. And I was hyped as fuck. I was like, oh my God, this is such tea. It's amazing. And I messaged you about it in Discord and was like, oh my God, have you seen this? Blah, 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 blah. But then I was like, no, hang on a minute. This is not like me to not look for the actual original receipts and just take something at face value. Because you know I don't do that. So I'm like, why am I doing it for this? So I did my little digging, and it's false, of course. So it wasn't the 19th of April. Someone's falsified. It was, in fact, I went back to the actress's original Instagram account, found the post. It was the 18th of April, which I know is the date before, but that's not the point. The point is that somebody has doctored this, and the point is that people keep trying to doctor images and dates of things just to fit a certain narrative, and then they're posting it on TikTok. And I'm just so sick of this fucking misinformation, just because you're going to get a load of views on TikTok, and then people don't bother to check it.
Yeah.
And they just take something that they see or that they're told and they're like, well, that's canon. And it's not. And it just bugs me. And I can't believe I fell for it for like 30 seconds. I was like, oh my God. And then I thought, no, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
So yeah, it just annoys me that people do this. So I just wanted to have a bit of a rant about it.
Of course. Yeah, that's annoying, because especially those of us who are what's the right word? Delulu prone.
Exactly.
We're like, oh my God, this is so good. And then we research and we're like, well, that's a letdown.
Exactly. But it's happened so many times. And I feel like it's just becoming more and more. And there are so many people. I'd say like 70% of the Swiftie fandom would not even bother checking whether or not it was real.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And it's just creates this false narrative. And we know Taylor loves a false narrative because she writes her own, but she doesn't need her fans doing the same as well.
Yeah, that's very true. Oh, also, I meant to ask you, speaking of Taylor, aren't you missing the Bolter vinyl?
No, I'm missing the Bolter CD.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm not buying all, I only buy one album on vinyl.
Oh, okay. Got it.
It's the special edition CDs that I'm collecting.
Okay.
So I'm only missing the Bolter. So I'm waiting for that.
Okay. Because I was like, oh, they did the re-release of the vinyls. That is like an hour. But yes. Okay.
No, they'll. I'm going to get the OG on vinyl and then the three variants I want on special edition CD. So.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But yeah, as soon as they pop back up, let me know, because.
Oh, I will. Don't worry.
I need the Bolter.
Okay. We're only like 26 days away from Poets. It's so crazy.
And next Friday, less than a week away, we've got Beyonce.
I know, I'm a little apprehensive, but I will be listening. There was rumors that Taylor was going to be on it.
Really?
Yeah, that...
I mean, that would make sense.
I would literally lose my shit if there was a Beyonce-Taylor collab on Cowboy Carter.
Why has she not posted it to Apple Music yet? Like, I need to see the title. I need to see the titles of each track.
Oh, that's a good point. Here, let me look it up. I'm going to look up if she... I mean, I'm sure she hasn't announced anything.
How has she managed to keep it under wraps?
I know. I did see an article, and I didn't fact check it, so take it with a grain of salt, but I saw someone talking about how she had finished Cowboy Carter before she finished Renaissance, and how she just had to sit on how good Cowboy Carter was because she wanted to release Renaissance first.
Interesting.
And I was like, that's really interesting. Track list is empty. There you go.
We don't even know how many tracks.
Yeah, we know nothing. And it comes out in literally 5 days.
This is crazy how she's managed to keep it under wraps, because you know what the internet's like.
Yeah. And I feel like I don't think that Beyonce is going to like even submit it to Apple Music until literally midnight.
You can pre-order. Hang on, Beyonce. You can pre-order the album. I'm just going onto her shop. I'm going to see if it says anything on there. Oh my goodness, I love these... vinyl colors. They're real primary colors.
White, red,
and blue. They're gorgeous details. Yeah, nothing. I mean, it could have three songs on it for me. I mean, it won't, obviously.
Imagine.
Oh, I love those snake glasses. That's really cool.
Did you see, like,
I'm nervous.
Beyonce doing the promo where she was like, this ain't a country album, this is a Beyonce album.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, she got the people fired up with that statement. People were pissed that she said that.
Really? Why?
Yeah, they were just like, bitch, it's a fucking country album. Like, you don't need to, like, put yourself on that kind of pedestal and blah, 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 blah.
She's Beyonce. She's allowed. Shut up.
Speaking of Beyonce and Taylor, just because I think this is interesting, did you see that TikTok going around about the girl talking about the difference between Beyonce and Taylor?
Right.
And I thought it was just so interesting because people talk about how Taylor is nowhere near Beyonce's level, but if you look at the numbers, I'm so sorry, but Taylor is a juggernaut of music, even objectively. If, like, obviously we are stans, you know, we're really close to the vein of Taylor, but even objectively, if you look at, like, her accolades, like, she is, no one is touching her at all.
No. And I hate that, comparing people.
Yeah.
But it's true, this, they aren't.
Yeah. And this person on TikTok was talking about how the difference between Beyonce and Taylor is Taylor has the biggest community in music because people feel like they know Taylor, and Taylor, like, considers her fans like her best friends. That's why she explains the tracks. Like, when she, like, introduces the tracks before she sings surprise songs, she's like, you know, describing it, the songwriting, like the story behind it, because, you know, she feels like she's talking to her friends. And Beyonce has the greatest audience in music because Beyonce's not getting up there and explaining track by track what's happening. She's putting on a goddamn show. She's dancing her ass off for however fucking long, and she's letting you soak it in. So the difference between Taylor and Beyonce is audience versus community. And I was like, that is a really interesting way to put it.
I like that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that because it wasn't pitting them against each other. It's just like, they are different, but they are.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I was just like, huh, what a cool way to look at it. And I really appreciated it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Have you seen Renaissance movie yet?
I have not.
You is need it? To, please.
I think it's supposed to be coming to streaming soon.
Is it? Okay.
That's what I heard. And I would love to be able to watch it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But yeah, so I'm sure we'll be talking about Beyonce next week.
Hopefully, it's not going to be like a gut spilled.
Yeah, hopefully not. All right, should we talk about Rosenblood?
Yeah.
Do it. All right, so we're doing chapter 13 today, and look at this lovely cover with little old Yol looking so demure and just posing for the camera. Looks absolutely gorgeous. Some picture frames behind him, some flowers, looking really pretty. So, a recap. Let's see. Last chapter was really Levi introspective chapter.
Very.
Levi was, you know, trying to deal with his feelings for Stella, trying to reconcile being an asshole to her. He was willing to suck Frederick's blood to get to know Stella more.
Yeah.
Hot. And then he also met a guy who was claiming to be Stella's fiance.
Yeah.
And then kind of before that, because I have a feeling we're going to pick up more so on what happened at the end of chapter 11 than chapter 12, Yol confessed his feelings for Stella, and Stella friend-zoned him immediately.
Yeah.
And then Gilbert showed up and told Stella to not trust Yol, and that he was going to save her from, or he was going to rescue her. And she's like, rescue me from what? And we got the impression that Yol heard everything that Gilbert
told Stella. Yeah.
So that's a little recap, and we're starting with Yol. It looks like he's still recovering. Is this from when he got hit with the butter knife?
Well, maybe that's quite a bandage.
I know. Or is it from when, like, Gilbert was attacking?
I don't know. I'm flicking back a little bit because it looks like he's just undergone, like, major heart surgery.
Literally.
And
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, his chest is bandaged, but there's like blood seeping out of a bandage wound on his arm. And that makes me think about the Gilbert attack. But
yeah,
you know, who knows? But he's shirtless with his bandages. He's wearing some tight little pants. And I guess he had come across Frederick at some point, because we see Frederick saying it hasn't healed. So I guess he's thinking back to when Frederick asked him this. We know that Yol and Frederick also have some sort of like team up thing going on, because they were like talking in a previous chapter about like, oh, it's working.
Yeah, I feel that's just like Frederick like
stirring the pot.
A little string puller. Yeah.
Okay. So we see Yol is looking, he's standing in front of a mirror. He's like checking his, I guess, his wounds out. And I love that he's at the mirror and he doubles over in pain and he's like, Stella. It's like, I was friend zoned so hard.
Yeah.
And he's thinking, love me, Stella, as he like grips his shoulder and his wound is oozing. And he's thinking back to the Gilbert attack, to when he protected Stella. Yeah, there we go. And he's thinking, I protected you from Gilbert, and I was the one who told you the truth. All this time, I've been honest with you. I'm your prince, after all. And honestly, I kind of love the Delulu. The level of Delulu of him being like, I'm your prince, after all. It's like cut to her like being thrown up against a wall and making out with Levi last chapter. Yeah. Okay. And then he says, and yet, and then he thinks back to when he was like confessing his feelings for Stella. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, I'm older than you, you know. And it looked like he was going in for a kiss, and Stella grabs his face like by the cheeks. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, don't. You should only do this with someone you have feelings for. Literally. She's like, oh, we shouldn't kiss. We're friends. And then she's like, okay. And he's like,
oh,
but I do have feelings for you.
I know. She's just not getting it.
She is not.
But I don't blame her, because
I don't either. Mm. Especially when you've got Levi and Frederick there. It's like, sorry, y'all, but you're probably last on my list.
Oh, God, yes. He's not even on the list.
Yeah, he's in charge of the list.
He can write the names down.
Yeah, he's literally the love bouncer. And he's like, so should I put my name? And we're like, oh, God, no.
But it's just four small letters. It's fine. Save the ink.
Yeah, we're like, we're in an ink shortage, so you shouldn't put your name down. Just continue being the love bouncer, and we're good. So he's thinking, why is it like this? I don't get it. And what exactly is happening here? Oh, this is when he's going out to Gilbert.
Mm.
What the fuck? Okay, so he's thinking, what's wrong with me? Is it because I'm smaller than the others? And we see that he's like gone out into the forest surrounding the manor, and he's like feeding Gilbert, even though Gilbert's like, quote unquote, on the run, but he's just in the forest.
Yeah. Yeah, he's kind of, well, he knows where he is hiding, and he's taking him some of the crystal candies.
Yeah, and of course Gilbert's taking them, because he has to feed off something. But I think it's just interesting again to see that Yol is the one that's like kind of placating Gilbert and keeping him at arm's length. It's really interesting. I'm like,
it's like, why? He sees him as his pet, because he's the one that had him like tied up in the dungeon as well.
Exactly. It's so interesting. So Yol is thinking, you said I was the only one you needed. And he's thinking about Stella, and he's thinking, please don't reject me, just accept me. And then we see this image of Stella and Levi holding each other, and it's like, that should tell you all you need to know, y'all, but it's fine. And Yol is thinking, I want long arms and legs so I can envelop Stella like Levi does. I want to be Levi. Very interesting. So then we see him. He's currently feeding Gilbert. So that's where he is. And he's like, ah, as he's like feeding his little pet Gilbert, clearly. And is this Yol, or is this Gilbert saying this next part?
No, this...
Because it shows Gilbert crunching on the crystal candy. So is he talking or is it Yol?
I don't know, actually. Good point.
I'm going to assume it's Yol because Gilbert's mouth is full. He doesn't strike me as talking with his mouth full.
But I think it's a thought rather than a spoken thing.
Oh, okay.
But I still think it's Yol.
Okay. So maybe it's a thought. So maybe he's thinking, I want to eat. I really want to eat her. So then we cut back to the manor and we see that Levi is painting a portrait and it looks like Stella is standing in as his, what do they call it? I literally had it and it flew out of my head.
His subject.
His muse. And she's thinking back to the last time she saw Levi before they were like kissing and shit. His eyes started to bleed. And she's thinking about that and thinking, that blood, what caused it? As she sits there and as the subject, as the muse. And then she's like, is thinking, maybe it's like a nosebleed. He doesn't seem bothered by it. So she's like, it's just an eye bleed. It's fine. Nothing serious, I'm sure. So then it looks like Levi's like wiping paint off of his hands or whatever. Yeah, that's what it looks like. And she's just, you know, having her internal monologue as she's thinking, I hope I'm just imagining this small shadow on my heart. People get anxious when they don't know things about the ones they care for. So she's like, I feel like something is going on with Levi and he doesn't seem bothered by the whole eye thing, but it feels like it's something bigger. And Levi looks past the portrait or past the canvas to see her and he's staring at her and she says, is something wrong? And he says, no, I was just admiring you. Levi. And of course she starts fanning herself and her heart starts thumping. She's like, oh my God, quit it, Levi. But then, does she look out the window?
Yeah, she's fanning herself. She glances out the window and she sees Yol.
Yol going through the garden. And she's thinking back to when Gilbert had said, do not open your heart to Yol. And so she's having all kinds of fucking thoughts. She's got Yol on her brain, Gilbert on her brain, Levi on her brain. The only one currently not here is Frederick, which is interesting. So, sitting in her chair while he paints, she says, hey, Levi, is something odd going on with Yol? And I love that Levi doesn't even really register it a whole lot because he keeps painting. He's like, Yol. And we see Yol strolling through the garden still, but Levi says, I'm not sure. He seems normal enough. He's never struck me as a deep thinker.
Wow.
Damn. Yeah, damn.
He's so shady, Levi.
I know. And Stella's just like, oh, I see. And then Levi says, oh, wait, but he did fall into a depression one time.
I mean, seems important, but whatever.
Yeah. And we see Yol inside of a room with several bird cages.
Empty bird cages.
Yeah, it's very important that they're empty. And it looks like Yol has a bird in his hands. And Stella says, he did? And Levi's like, yeah, it was quite a while ago. And then we see Yol with this like little bird perched up on his hand. He's like, looks like he's giving it a little kiss on its little head. It's very cute. And Levi's explaining, Yol had some pet birds. More than one. I'm not sure how many. Whenever he found one, he'd put it in its own cage. He stayed in his room caring for them. So, and we see this image of Yol like putting a bird in, or it looks like he's putting the bird in the bird cage, or he's going up to one of the empty ones and like stroking the cage. So this is his room. This isn't even like some separate room where he like keeps his bird collection.
Yeah.
And you know, Levi's still painting and he says, chomp. I don't know why he says chomp.
Oh, it will be clear soon.
Okay. And then he says, just like that. I guess the way that Stella's poised herself. And then he explains, the bird he cared for most bit his finger.
There you go. It was the bird chomping.
Oh, that's right. He said he stayed in his room caring for them, but chomp. Just like that, the bird he cared for the most bit his finger. Got it. Mm-hmm. It's almost like if I had strung the same sentence together, I would fucking understand. But I kept breaking it up. Anyway, so we see Bowl. We see Yol with his bird bite. Bowl. Oh, God. With blood on his finger. And then we see Stella, who looks very pretty in this panel. Levi's still explaining. He says he said it probably wanted to be out in the world and probably hated him for making it waste its life in a cage. He seemed so sad. Mm-hmm. And we see Yol in his fucking short shorts and garters leading into his boots as he looks really sad because, you know, his favorite bird dumb bit his ass. And Levi says he really liked the birds, but I think he said he returned them to the sky. And it looks like Yol is spreading his hands up to the air and like feathers are falling because he released the birds out into the sky. Mm-hmm. And Stella says, I see. That must have been hard for him. And then she just thinks about Yol with bird feathers around him. And she's thinking he must be a very kind person. Mm-hmm. But then we cut to the forest. We cut to the forest and we see, it looks like, since we know that Yol was out in the garden, it looks like he's leaving Gilbert now. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. This is just a continuation of, like, this is what's happening is they're having that discussion.
Right. And so we see Gilbert on the ground and he's eating the crystal candies that he's been given, but then he starts to, like, cough and he's like, bleh! And he's, like, tossing them up almost. And Gilbert's thinking, what are these crystals? If I keep eating them, my head will explode from fear. I want to eat. And Gilbert says that's what he said. Interesting. So Yol did say that earlier. Mm-hmm. Maybe he had said out loud, I want to eat, but then in his mind he thought, I really want to eat her.
Yes, true.
Very interesting. So Gilbert's thinking about that and he's like, that's what he said. Eat. Eat what? Stella? Crystals? Dun dun dun. So then we cut back to the manor. Specifically, it looks like we're in Yol's room, where it looks like Yol is drawing and writing.
Yeah.
Looks like he's doing like a illustrated journal, maybe?
Yeah, but look at that picture. It's like Mothica's new album cover.
Literally. Yeah, it's a fair maiden with death. So,
God, he knew.
Yeah, he fucking knew. He said, kissing death, honey. I'm doing the promo.
He is. That would be an amazing cover.
It would be. So he's scribbling and he's like humming to himself. And we see the empty bird cages in his room. Or no, one of them looks like it has a bird in it.
Yeah, it does.
That tickled you, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just looking. All of them look like they have birds in it. So I'm a bit confused.
Yeah, very interesting. And Yol is like critiquing his own work and he says, seems a bit off, should be more, yes, that's good. And so he's just scribbling in his like little illustrations and he's like, so he's getting a kick out of his alone time. He's having a good time. So then we cut to a tree.
I don't understand. This chapter confuses me, but let's keep
this
going.
This chapter's all over the place, yeah. We cut to a tree that has, like, on one of the branches, it's a little high up, a basket of apples. And Stella comes across it. Which, this is just so crazy. Stella comes across it, and she's like, what the fuck?
It's like someone set a trap.
Yeah, very poorly constructed trap.
And they're just like, maybe I can tempt her with a basket of low-hanging fruit, as it were.
Exactly.
Oh, really, I just low-hanging don't know. Fruit.
So, yeah, she sees the hovering basket of apples, and she says, not gonna eat those.
See, she nearly fell for it. She nearly fell for the trap.
You almost did. Darn.
Oh, what would God. Need to be in the basket to tempt you to be like, oh, this seems perfectly normal, suspicious, but I'm gonna go for it?
Honestly, the first thing that comes to my mind is Eras tickets.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you got me, girl. And then suddenly
just casually hanging in a basket on the tree, you'd be like, yeah, seems normal.
I'm like, oh my God, Indianapolis tickets. I can actually make it to this one. I'm like, la-da-da, be-ba-da. Oh, yeah, that would get me. So then she recoils as I guess she hears a noise. And who's up in the tree but Gilbert? Oh, Gilbert, you're so good at traps. And he says, you should stop searching for me. And her heart is thumping because he scared the shit out of her. And she's like, Gilbert! And he says, but I thought maybe you haven't been eating. Oh, no, wait, Stella? Wait, what? Okay, I see what's happening. Stella came to the forest and put a basket of apples up for Gilbert.
Because no. She knows that
he's... No?
No, I mean, I'm just going like, no. So it's Stella's trap.
Stella's the one.
Well, not a trap, but she just left.
Yeah.
Okay, and fine.
Gilbert said, not going to eat those. And she recoiled because his voice surprised her.
Right.
And that's what fucking happened.
I mean, she's not going to get him with apples.
I know. Like, maybe if she cried all over the apples so he could get some human fluids, because we know they need the fluids.
Yeah. Oh, okay. God. Maybe she did do something with the apples.
Yeah, maybe she baked them in her love oven. I'm so sorry.
Oh, God.
Oh, it gives a new term to baked apple pie. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Okay. So Stella left the apples for Gilbert.
Sorry, guys. We have read this, but this chapter is just a bit vague to me, so.
Yeah, and I don't remember scene by scene everything that happened.
Mm.
But
I don't remember the apples.
No, not at all.
The apple trap.
The apple trap. Yeah. The fucking apple trap. But yeah, so Stella did this. He says, you should stop searching for me. She says, Gilbert. And then she says, but I thought maybe you haven't been eating. And Gilbert's still up in the tree and says, instead of leaving food and fleeing, just let me just eat you. Oh my God, Gilbert.
Okay.
He's like, I don't want apples. I prefer tart. So then he leaps down out of the tree and she just kind of like stands there as he does that. And he's like, don't stand there struggling to answer. I'm kidding. And he says, you worry too much about others. Do you even recognize your situation? Do you realize we're not human? He's like, are you that fucking stupid?
She knows by now, surely. She knows.
Yeah. Oh, God. And he says, and it looks like she's like backing up away from him and she's nearing the trunk of a tree. And Gilbert's just like slowly walking towards her. Not menacingly, but
yeah.
Maybe. And he says, if we understand one another, I don't think it's dangerous. Or no, she says that. She says, if we understand one another, I don't think it's dangerous. And so finally she's like, oh, as her back hits the back of the tree trunk, and Gilbert leans over the tree to bend down towards her. And she kind of like slides down, and he like hunches over her. And
I
he
love
says,
that image.
I do too. It's very with the apple. It's very like Red Riding Hood to me.
Oh, yes.
It's like very fairy tale-esque.
And with his long flowing red hair and that, you know, loose shirt and those tight trousers.
So good. So he says, even though you're scared of me. And she grabs one of the apples. Maybe one of them fell out of the basket. Or maybe she had an extra one. I don't know. Maybe he picked it and like gave it to her. Don't know. It's not clear. But she says, that's because I don't know you. I intend to get to know you better. And she like presents the apple. And he's just like, what? And so he takes the apple. He's like, know me better, huh? And he's thinking, how pitiful. And Stella says, at first I thought you despised me, so the other night was confusing, talking about the whole rescuing thing.
Yeah, exactly, because he's been just chaotic from the beginning, like trying to attack her and then rescuing her, and like, what is going on? I mean, we know that he has this, you know, in a turmoil, and Yol's been playing with him, but she doesn't know any of that.
Exactly. So she says, why are you trying to help me? And he kind of looks frightened by this. He's like, because you... And then we see a flashback panel. First of all, hot. Second of all... We see that Yol wasn't the only one tending to a tied up Gilbert in the dungeon, because in the flashback panel, we see Frederick sitting before Gilbert, who is tied up still, and he has like a riding crop whip thing.
Stop.
And hot.
Yes. He's got his legs crossed.
He's got his legs crossed. He's looking at Gilbert like he's about to whip him. And I am on board.
Oh, me too. Yeah, I'm already on it. I'm on that flight.
The safe word is apple for sure. And we see in the panel that Frederick says, Stella was concerned about you, Gilbert. And then he says, I suppose I did break your neck. Because that's how Gilbert was initially stopped from attacking Stella. So as Gilbert thinks about this, he does bite into the apple. So very kind of him to take the gift and actually put it to use. And he says, you were concerned about me, right? And he munches on the apple. And Stella says, concerned? As he goes to town on that apple, honey. And she's thinking, I suppose I was concerned because I was scared. And as she watches him tear into the apple, she's thinking, perhaps he's not such a scary person. Then they hear, oh, Gilbert! In the distance. And Stella's like, and then, where are you? Ugh. And Gilbert tilts his head and he says, shoot, it's Yol. I just love that he's like, god damn it, it's Yol. And Stella's like, huh? And he takes the now apple core, because he's torn through that goddamn apple, tosses it to Stella and says, take this home. Take my trash. And she says, wait, he knows you're in the forest? He hasn't mentioned it. And as Gilbert walks away, he flips his hair over his shoulder to look at Stella and says, didn't I tell you not to trust him? And then Gilbert says, go back to the house. And Stella says, wait. And she reaches up into Gilbert's long, beautiful red hair. And she plucks something out of it and says, there's a rose petal in your hair. And he goes, Oh. So then he like grabs her wrist.
Yeah, because she's holding the rose petal.
Right. Okay. He grabs her wrist and she's just like, what? And he eats the rose petal. And she's thinking, he ate it? And he's like wiping his mouth like, oh, that petal was delicious, honey. And he says, hey, if we truly can understand each other, can you really live with us? The existential question. And so then we leave Stella and Gilbert joins where Yol was yelling for him. I guess their spot that they've been at. Mm-hmm. And Yol says, hey, Gilbert, where were you? And he like reaches up and grabs Gilbert by the chin, like making him look at him. And I'm like, oh my God. And Gilbert says, in my fairy tale, I protect a caged princess, so there has to be a beast, right? That's Gilbert?
Or is that Yol?
Oh, well, that would make sense, because cage and he's a...
And he looks like he's writing a book as well with his images and the text.
Okay, yeah. Mm. So Yol says, in my fairy tale, I protect a caged princess, so there has to be a beast. And he's talking about Gilbert. And he says, I need to be able to find you. And Gilbert just sits down in the grass because he's like, you know, what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm kind of at his mercy for some reason. Mm-hmm. And Yol says, guess you can't understand me. But Gilbert's thinking, how dare you babble such nonsense? And he starts to like, he reaches out to like stroke Gilbert's hair.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just like a power play sort of thing. Like, he just has to do that to like exact his control over Gilbert. And he says, as he's like stroking Gilbert's hair, he says, once I eat that and complete myself. And Gilbert's thinking, that? What the fuck? And Yol tosses out some more crystal candies in the grass. house. And Yol says, only Frederick will be obstructing my fairy tale. He's really a pain, don't you think? So he's got this like entire like warped reality in his head.
Yeah, of how he thinks things are gonna play out.
Mm-hmm. So he tosses the crystal candies and says, well, anyway, but if I feed him crystallized heads, he'll become just like you.
Oh, so that's how he's been
controlling Gilbert.
Yeah.
And Gilbert goes to eat the crystal candies, but he stops because he's like, holy shit, that's what Yol's doing to me. Because I think that what they normally do is they crystallize the entire body, obviously. Yeah. But maybe they stay away from the heads because they know that like you absorb the memories and it like fucks with your own head.
They absorb memories anyway when they're eating the person, but it's obviously
true.
Yeah, but maybe the head is just like, it's like super concentrated.
Yeah, and it's like
not watered down. Yeah, at all. There's no like, you know, watering down of it. So
So it causes this like psychosis almost.
Mm.
Crazy. And we see that Yol is like reaching into his pouch and he's tossing more of these crystal candies in the grass. And he says, the more beasts, the better. And Frederick, God damn it. Frederick's not here, Justin.
you wish he was, clearly.
I know, clearly. Gilbert's thinking, heads? He's been feeding me heads? And he's looking down at Yol's exposed glove that has the crystal candies in it, the head crystal candies. And Yol says, don't worry, I'll let you stay at my side. Eat up, there's plenty more. No one eats the head anyway. And because Gilbert has to, he takes the crystal candies and he's thinking, you've got to be kidding.
Mm.
So he consumes them, or he like pretends he consumes them, as Yol gets up and says, see you, I'll be back with more. And as he leaves, we see Gilbert is thinking, I need to throw it up fast. So he's like, I'll put on the facade that I'm doing what Yol wants, but
yeah,
I'm not going to let
exactly.
him win. So he is like huffing, trying to like make himself throw up, I think. And then he's like, and he spots a little patch of crystal candies next to Yol's foot as Yol is walking away. And he's thinking, oh no, I threw those up yesterday. And Yol's walking past them, and Gilbert's thinking, please don't notice them. Keep going, keep. And then, Yol's heel crunches on one of the candies.
Oh, no.
And Yol's like, oh? And he looks down, he sees it, and he says, hey, Gil. And then he sees more of the crystal candies, and we turn back to Gilbert, and Gilbert's like hiding his face.
Mm.
He's like, fuck. And Yol looks like he's pissed. He reaches down, he grabs the crystal candies and says, what's this? As he walks back over to Gilbert, and Gilbert looks terrified.
Yeah.
And Yol takes the crystal candies and tosses them in front of Gilbert again and says, you've been throwing them up, so you understand, do you? And it looks like Gilbert's about to start crying. Bless his heart. And so then, Gilbert, it looks like Gilbert gets up off of his knees and like wants to run. He's trying to get away, but Yol's a little too quick and he grabs Gilbert's hair. It's gotta fucking hurt. Gilbert screams out in pain, and then there's a wham, and it looks like Yol was able to overpower Gilbert because clearly he's weak from all this like concentrated crystal candy stuff.
Yeah, well, he's not been eating them as well, so it makes him even weaker.
Exactly. And then we see Gilbert's kind of disoriented on the ground, and Yol is like straddling him, pinning him to the ground. And he puts one hand on Gilbert's chest, and the other hand reaches for his dagger by his thigh. And Yol says, you've been deceiving me. And he retracts the blade, and he just like holds it up. And then he takes the blade, and like, does he actually pierce the skin? Or does he just, I think he pierces the skin because it looks like
he does. Yeah, he does. Pierces the skin.
He pierces the skin at Gilbert's chest and it starts to bleed. And Yol says, well, you can hear me, can't you? And Gilbert's like, ugh, as he feels the blade go in. And Gilbert's grimacing as he's thinking, how does he have a silver knife? So it's almost kind of like werewolves and silver bullets, it seems like. The silver affects them in a different way than a regular blade, maybe? Yol leans down, grabs Gilbert's chin, and says, speak. It's like, oh my god, this side of Yol.
Yeah.
So then he grips the dagger, and he shoves it almost all the way in to Gilbert's chest. And Gilbert lets out an ear-piercing scream. And Yol says, you've been tricking me? Answer, or this will pierce your heart. And he retracts the blade out. And then we see Gilbert's like trying to fight back, but he can only like barely lift his hands up Yol's arms. And then they hear Yol, and it's Stella behind them. And they're both thinking, I think it's both of them who are thinking, Stella?
Yeah.
And Stella says, I heard voices. So, and Gilbert is bleeding like fucking crazy. And he's thinking, fool, why are you still here? Oh. Don't worry about me. If you seem to realize anything, he'll... And it does look like Yol picks up the dagger and he's about to slice and dice his ass again. But Stella is staring and Gilbert thinks, if you seem to realize anything, he'll... ... just like those birds. And we see this image of Yol in his room and we see the bird cages, but there's feathers at the bottom of the bird cages, but they're also dripping blood.
Yeah, I think it's, well, the birds are dead. And this is the moment that Levi was referring to when he fell into a deep depression.
So Yol wasn't setting the birds free by throwing them up into the sky. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
And Gilbert looks, I love that Gilbert's not even worried about himself. He's like, Stella, you've got to get out of here. And he's still thinking, run, as Stella's just fucking standing there. But Gilbert is trying to say that, but he doesn't speak. He just like is flailing and like not even talking. And that scares Stella to where she grabs Yol's arm and says, Yol, we have to run. Stella, not Stella running off with like the murderer. And Yol's like, Stella. And Stella is like grabbing him. I guess they're running away. And she's thinking, what was Yol doing to him just now? Something with a knife, but what? And then we see Gilbert like straining to get up. He's bleeding like crazy. And Stella's thinking, blood, he was bleeding. Don't look back. I mustn't be worried. I need to pretend I didn't notice anything.
Okay, so she's following Gilbert's advice.
Mm-hmm. And then we see Gilbert, who is thinking, that's right, Stella. Hold Yol's hand and get out of the forest. That's why she was like, Yol, we have to leave.
Yeah, because she got what he was kind of like implying, like, oh, I can't actually, like, I saw what was happening because that would be dangerous.
Yeah, I've got to pretend I didn't see it. Yeah. So as they run away, Gilbert's thinking, don't worry about me. Run. Don't look back. As long as you're safe. And then she does look back and she locks eyes with Gilbert and he's thinking, hi. And he just looks really shocked that she turned around and they share this like little moment. But then we cut to, you know, Stella and Yol running away and they're running through the forest and Yol is ecstatic because he's thinking, Stella took my hand. She took my hand. Yeah. And then as he's like watching Stella run in front of him, he's thinking, it's my turn to protect you. I want to get bigger. I'll eat Levi's heart and get big soon, okay?
What?
And that's the quote unquote that he was talking about. Once I eat that.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about Levi's heart, and that's the end of the chapter. But he's talking about killing, I would assume killing Levi to replace him as the man in Stella's life. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Because he's drafted this whole narrative of like, I am the prince. I have to save the princess.
He needs, and she's caged like his birds. And
yeah,
you know, he's got Gilbert, he's painted Gilbert as this beast and he's controlling him with the headcanons and he plans to do the same to Frederick. And yeah, he's He's sipping the Kool-Aid. He's full the Lulu.
Yeah, he thinks he's Rip writing, TV's coming tomorrow.
Yeah, he's writing his little fanfic and he's believing that it's real.
Mm-hmm. All right, Marcella, what were your favorite parts?
I mean, the apple trap basket thing. Yeah. Very confusing. It was a good chapter. It was confusing because, I mean, this was the second time I'd read it and I was like, wait, what? I remember the whole bird thing and I remember the reveal about the birds being dead. He hadn't actually set them free.
Yeah.
But then I kind of forgot about the whole head candies. So it was interesting to see more about how Yol has been trying to control Gilbert and Gilbert's been sort of fighting back against it because Gilbert's, you know, at the very start, he was kind of like feral, but we know why, because, you know, Yol's been kind of, controlling him. It's very interesting. What about you?
Yeah, the apple trap was great because even though I didn't know what the fuck was going on, we got there. I think it's so interesting that we're getting this like insight. We got this insight into like what Levi was thinking last time, and we sort of got this, you know, insight to Yol's inner workings of his mind and like what's fueling him and driving him in the story. And even though it seems like he's willing to do anything to bring his fantasy to reality, which is a little concerning.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just love that. And I love that we got so much Gilbert.
Oh, no.
And I love that we're seeing like this shift between like you were saying, like the deranged feral Gilbert into like, I'm actually a victim of my circumstances. And like, I don't want it this way, but like I'm being force fed into this role.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting. And what I think is even more interesting is this implies that once Yol met Stella, he like started implementing this plan of like making Gilbert the Beast. So very interesting. Very interesting.
Let us not forget Frederick and his riding crop.
Oh yeah, that was a sight to behold. Last chapter we had Levi and Frederick. This chapter we had Frederick and Gilbert. And you know what? I'm still into it. I would pay-per-view. I sure would. I'll subscribe to the OnlyFans. I sure will. But yeah, it was a great chapter. Good time.
Yeah.
Next time we'll be reading chapter 14. We're getting close to the end of book 3 here.
Yeah.
And then we'll be on book 4. I know. So excited for book 4. It's our favorite. So it's going to be a good time. But thank you guys for listening to this episode of Sailor Manga. You can find me on the internet at JustinGray22 across Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
And you can find us both on Twitter and Instagram at Sailor Manga Pods.
And you can email us at sailormangapodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to leave a rating and review if you feel so inclined. Helps people find the podcast. And we also just recently surpassed 16,000 listens.
Wow. Which is
crazy.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. Hard to believe that we've been doing this for 3 years. And 16,000 listens. Like, that's insane to me.
Yeah.
But as always, thank you guys for listening. But we'll just say, with the blood of the rose,
we'll meet you at the close.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye.
I don't know why that made me laugh.
Really? It's just, yeah, made sense.
The noise was so good. I don't know why that made me laugh so hard, but it was very anime noise. I think that's why I got it.